Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Hello, my dear friends. We are studying together the Gospel of John, and this ministry meeting we are continuing on with the 12th chapter of the Gospel of John. In Hebrew, the name is Yohanan. Yohanan was the one that presenting before us the divine nature of our Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, when he was used by the Spirit of God to pen down this gospel according to Yohanan, according to John. We are now in the 12th chapter, and I would like to begin reading in this session from verse 20 of John chapter 12. We're going to read all the way to the end of the chapter. John 12 and verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came, therefore, to Philip, which was in Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Yeshua. We would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Yeshua answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servants be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say, Father? Abba, save me from this hour? But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, We have heard out of the law that the Messiah abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Verse 35, Then Yeshua said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, "Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes and understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them." This thing said Isaiah when he saw his glory, and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believe on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved their praises of men more than the praise of God. Yeshua cried and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that reject me and receiveth not my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." Beloved brothers and sisters, we read in this message from verses 20 to the end of the chapter, to verse 50. And this is the second half of the 12th chapter, through which chapter we have learned that the Lord Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, he was the one that was appealing in his final public ministry to various groups among the people of Israel. The first one was in chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. The Lord Jesus, the Messiah, was with his friends there in Beit Onya, Bethany, at the house of Miriam, Martha, and Eliezer, whom he had raised. And he wanted to encourage them and to strengthen them in believing on him. Then in the second portion, verses 12 to 19, the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, spoke to the Jewish people who came to the Feast of Pesach. With them he communicated, and he told them in these verses 12 to 19 of the fact that he was the one that came in order to provide redemption. And as he was presenting himself before the people during the feast in the city of Jerusalem, many took palm trees, branches, and they said, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." And now the Lord came into this triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem. And then we read that they understood not when he was coming to the city of Jerusalem. He found a young donkey and he sat on it, and it is written, "Fear no, daughters of Zion," fulfilling what the prophet Zechariah was prophesying concerning the first coming of the Messiah. And if you remember, we read that these things understood not his disciples, at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written of him. But we read that the people, therefore, that was with him when he called Eliezer out of the grave, you know what we read? For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. And you remember we concluded in verse 19 in our previous message that the Pharisees, therefore among the people, said, "Do you see? Do you see how ye prevail in nothing? Look, the whole world is gone after him." And you see, my dear friend, dear brothers and sisters, many had followed the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, even though their measure of understanding was limited, but they did believe. But the Pharisees and the spiritual leaders of Israel who were there, they saw that many follow him, and they were so concerned because the whole world, according to them, is gone after him. Well, in the next portion, which we are dealing with in this ministry meeting, verses 20 to the end, we see now that Yeshua is now relating to the Greeks, to the Hellenistic Jews who came to the city of Jerusalem for the feast, and then ultimately at the end, he is also relating to those who did not believe on him. So this passage is very important because the whole purpose behind these verses, that there was final part of the public ministry of the Lord in the land of Israel, and he, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, relate himself to different groups among the people of Israel. His friends in Bethany, the Jewish people who came to the feast of Pesach, the Hellenistic Jews who came to the feast, and ultimately those who did not believe on him. So there were various groups in which he was communicating with during the time that he came in this triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem. And so when we have arrived now to verse 20 of chapter 12, from verse 20 to verse 36, we see what happened when these Greek Jews, the Hellenists who came to the feast in the city of Jerusalem and wanted to see Jesus. We read in verse 20, "And there came certain Greeks," the Hebrew word is Yevanim, in the Greek is Hellenists, "among them that came up to worship at the feast." Some might say that these are Gentiles who got converted, became believers in the God of Israel. They may have been around the world attending various synagogues. They come now to the feast in Jerusalem in order to celebrate the feast of Passover. And so some would suggest that these are simply non-Jewish Greeks who came from the nations of the world, but they must have been those who must have been converts into the God of Israel. And of course, from other texts, we can see that these Hellenists were people who actually were Jewish believers who came to keep the feast of Passover, but they were what we call them today Hellenistic Jews, Greek Jews who live in the diaspora. You remember, according to Acts chapter 6, there was a friction in the early assembly in the city of Jerusalem between the local Jews, the local one, the one who lived in Israel, born in the land, and others who came from among the nations of the world. We read in Acts chapter 6 and verse 1, "In those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Greeks or the Grecians against the Hebrews because of their widows. They were neglected in the daily administration." In other words, there were in the early days in the local assemblies in the city of Jerusalem, in the land of Israel, there was a murmuring between the Grecian Jews and Hebrew Jews. In other words, to remind you, that the time where the non-Jews, the Gentiles, have entered into the body of Christ, the Samaritans in Acts chapter 8, and the Gentiles through Cornelius, who was the first one to come in, then the Jews, the Samaritans, and the Gentiles were now part of this local church, local assembly. But during the time where before the church was born, before the assembly was born, we have here these Hellenistic Jews coming to the land of Israel to celebrate the feast of Pesach in the temple. So they come, and what do they say? They come to worship, and the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida, of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." What a wonderful expression we have here in this verse 21 in Hebrew. Chafetzim anachnu lirot et Yeshua. We want to see Yeshua. We want to see Yeshua. They've heard of him. They've heard of what he has done with the raising of Eliezer, the miracle that he has done. They came and they wanted to see Jesus. We do not even hear or read whether they have really conversed with him. But one thing we do read, that they said, "We would see Jesus." We wanted to see Yeshua. So Philip cometh and he tells to Andrew, verse 22, and Andrew and Philip tell this to Yeshua, to Jesus. But then you notice, in verse 23, all the way to verse 28, Yeshua, Jesus, is answering Andrew and Philip, and he is telling them in verses 23 to 28, he emphasizes the fact that the glory of God, that God is going to be now glorified when he will soon die and pay for the question of sin. It is very interesting that we do not read that he spoke to these Greeks who sought for him, yet the answer that he has gave to Philip and Andrew is this. Notice this, beautiful. In verse 23, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. I just want to pause here for a moment. While we do not read that he is speaking now to these Hellenistic Jews, Jews from the diaspora, or Gentiles who convert to become believers in the God of Israel who came to see Yeshua the Messiah, while we don't read him speaking with them or them speaking with him, what we do read that he directed the attention of his disciples to the fact that he is about to die on that shameful tree for the redemption of mankind. And so these Greeks may have come because they have heard about his miracles, which he had made, but he is pointing to the fact that he didn't come to provide miraculous events here in this world, but he came in order that he will pay for sin, because otherwise there will never be a possibility for man to enter into a relationship with God. And so he's saying, the hour is come. And notice what Yeshua the Messiah always said this of himself. He called himself the Son of Man should be glorified. Notice the word Son of Man. Many times in Scripture we find our Lord Yeshua using this expression, Ben Ha'adam or Ben Adam. In fact, he's speaking this of himself so many times, over 75 to 80 times in the Gospel. Began in Matthew 8, verse 20, Yeshua saith unto him, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head." This is a messianic title that our Lord Yeshua the Messiah gave to himself, taken from the prophecy that Daniel, the prophet, received from the angel when he was in the dispersion in Babylon. In Daniel, We read in Daniel 7:13, I saw in a night vision, then behold, one like unto the Son of Man, Ben-Hadam, came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. This is the Son of Man, Ben-Hadam, the Messianic man that will come with the clouds of heaven. You remember what we read in the book of Revelation, in chapter 1, where we read in verse 7, of Revelation chapter 1, we read of the second coming of the Messiah. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kingdoms of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. This has to do with the second coming. And the Lord Jesus, the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, call himself Ben-Hadam, Ben-Adam, the Son of Man. He became a man in order to provide salvation because he could die as a man for the sin of this world. The second time it is mentioned in the Gospel of Matthew is Matthew 9, verse 6, but that ye may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, as we read here in verse 6 of Matthew chapter 9. Mark, in his gospel, Yeshua again mentioned the fact that he is the Son of Man in the gospel of Mark chapter 2 and verse 10. But that ye may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. You see, he is Ben-Hadam, Ben, the Son of Man. We can continue on, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friends, throughout the gospel. In the gospel of Luke, the first time it's mentioned in Luke chapter 5 and verse 24, but that ye may know that the Son of Man has power upon the earth to forgive sins. And here we find out in the gospel of John, Yohanan, Yeshua once and again speaking of himself, calling himself Ben-Adam. In John chapter 1 we read, and he says unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And John 3 and verse 13, no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Ben-Hadam, in Hebrew it's very clear, Ben-Hadam is a messianic title, my dear friend, and I would like just to mention for the benefit of us all, when the Lord was standing before the spiritual leaders of Israel, confessing that he was the Son of Man, we read that they understood that that is a messianic title. That Yeshua is speaking of himself as the one that has the messianic title. He is the Messiah. You remember what he said in Matthew chapter 26. This is the last time in the Gospel of Matthew which Yeshua used the word the Son of Man. Jesus said unto him, thou hast said it. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the power and coming in clouds of heaven. This is Matthew chapter 26, verse 64. What do you think the high priest did in verse 65? Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. When Yeshua used the expression, the Son of Man, the spiritual leaders of Israel understood that it is speaking about the Messiah himself. So you notice, the hour is coming when the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, and listen how beautiful, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. You see, it's like it's a parable. It is a mashal. Parabole is the Lord is taking an example from that which is naturally happened here on earth to apply this to himself. He will be as the corn of wheat that fall into the ground and die. And just as a corn of wheat could not bring fruit unless it goes into the ground and die, and then bring forth fruit, there will never be fruit for God in this world for mankind unless the Messiah paid for our sin. And he surely paid for the sin of this world when he died. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground. My dear friend, I hope we can grasp it. I hope we can understand it. That he was speaking, the Lord Yeshua, Jesus, our Mashiach, is speaking of himself that it was necessary for him before he will return as man to glory, to heaven, it was necessary that he will die first. A corn of wheat must fall into the ground and die. And if it doesn't die, it will remain alone. A corn of wheat that will not be placed in the ground and die, it will not bring fruit. It will not grow. The Messiah had to die in order to bring fruit. And what does that mean? That when Yeshua would go and die on the tree, he will provide fruit for mankind. So wonderful to know that. So precious to our hearts to know that. That the reason that Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, came to this world is to pay for the sin of this world. And so he continues and he says, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. In other words, one that will identify with the Messiah, with that corn of wheat, with the Mashiach, the Son of Man, who will die, he will ultimately will gain. But if he will not identify with him and seek to have his life only here in this world, he will lose it. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world? Listen. But lose his whole soul. What will it profit? Every one of us know very well that we live here only for a season. Time is passing by. We were born into this world. We became a young boys and girls. Yeah, then young men and women, then an older men and women, then we continue on in life, but time is passing by and we leave this scene. We are not staying here forever. He that loveth his life shall lose it. Meaning that if you only love your life here on earth, you're going to lose it at the end, my dear friend. But he that hate his life, meaning that he prefer to be right with God, live in this world, seek to live for God, but making sure that his sins are forgiven, trusting in the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, he will not only have his life in this world, but shall keep it into eternal life, Yeshua saying in verse 25. Verse 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. In other words, it's so beautiful. To identify with Yeshua the Messiah today, to accept him as our Lord and Savior, to accept that the fact that he paid for our sins, that not only give us a life here, blessing life here on earth, but also to be with him eternally. And the Father, God the Father, will honor those that trust in his Son, Ben Ha'adam. This is the Mashiach, the Messiah, the Savior, the Redeemer. But now notice in anticipation, in verse 27, look what Yeshua is saying in verse 27 and verse 28. The Lord's word, now is my soul troubled. Now imagine, my dear friend, because Jesus, Yeshua, was sinless, and because he is God and man in one, he knew no sin. He did no sin. In him there was no sin. But now he is going to become sin for us, for mankind. Not to become sinner, no, he is sinless, but to be made sin. He who knew no sin, God made him sin for us. Sin sacrifice. And so in anticipation for his death and to be the one that will bear our sins in his body on the tree. Yeshua said, "My soul is troubled." It's really the load that he anticipated to bear. Can you imagine? Not only the many sins in plural that each and every one of us commit, but the sin nature that brought about that which made it necessary for him to come to this world. And so my soul is troubled, he said. Doesn't it remind us of what Isaiah prophetically spoke concerning our Mashiach who would come in Isaiah 53? In verse 10, we do read what Isaiah said. In verse 10, concerning the Messiah, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt, listen to this, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. It pleased Jehovah to bruise him. What does that mean? God wanted to punish him, to bruise him, to judge him, so that others, such as you and I, who will believe on him, will receive forgiveness of sins. That's why it says in Isaiah 53 and verse 10, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. You see, up till the time when the Lord Jesus the Messiah came, the sacrificial system that was ordained of God pointed to him. But now the Lamb of God came, which is going to take the sin of this world. And here is where Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, anticipating his punishment on the cross for your sins and mine, he says, my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Don't allow me to be judged for the sin by a holy and a righteous God. He continues, says, no, but for this cause came I into this world. Then he said, notice that beautiful verse 28. He's asking the Father to glorify his name. You see, none of us glorified God in much of our lives. There were many godly men and women for which we thank the Lord that were setting an example, and they did honor and glorify God in their life, but they were always limited because they all, like you and I, have sin nature and fail and sin. But here's the man, the Son of Man, Ben Ha'adam, the Mashiach himself, saying, now, Father, glorify thy name. He wanted to glorify God. God was dishonored. The Father was dishonored because of sin. And because of this, he made it necessary for the Messiah to come to die and pay for the sin of this world. And here Yeshua is saying, Father, glorify your name. The hour is come for me to go to the cross. Now, you notice this is like towards the end of the public ministry, because from the next chapter 13, he's only with his Talmidim, his disciples, in the upper room, and then ultimately in the garden of Gethsemane. And ultimately he will be at the cross where he will be crucified. He will die on a Roman cross and say, it is finished. So these are the last portion of his public ministry when he was there in the city of Jerusalem, coming from Bethany to the city of Jerusalem, with this triumphant entry to the city there when the people came to celebrate a Pesach, a Passover. And so we read that there is a voice that came from heaven. My dear friend, think about it. Voice that came from heaven was unheard of. And here we find out that there is a voice that came from heaven for this one single man whose name is Yeshua. Yeshua HaMashiach, of whom we have already read in his own baptism in Matthew chapter 3, where the voice came from heaven that says "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." In Matthew chapter 17, in the mountain of the Transfiguration, in verse 5, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Now we see it and we hear it once again. "Then came a voice," this is verse 28 of John chapter 12, "saying, I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again." This is the voice from Elohim HaAbba, God the Father. You see, God found pleasure in the person of his Son, who call himself Ben HaAdam, the messianic title that he himself took to say of himself, "Ani hu Ben HaAdam," the Son of Man, the promised Messiah. And so the voice came. So verses 29, 30, we read, "Then the people therefore that stood by heard it and said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake unto him." And notice the response of Yeshua. "And he said to them," he answered and said, "this voice came not because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now is the prince of this world shall be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." You see, the answer to the people who heard that voice of God the Father saying, "I have glorified it and I will glorify it again," the people thought that it was thundering or an angel spake unto him. But the Lord Yeshua the Messiah said to them, "The voice did not come because of me, but it came for your sake, that you will understand and believe on me, that you will understand that God has sent me to this world." And you notice he continued and he said, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." Now notice that. When did God judge this world? You see, there is yet to come a future day when judgment will fall upon all this world, specifically during the tribulation days. But here we learn that when the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach will go in and die on the cross on the tree, and he will be punished by a holy and a righteous God for the sake of mankind because of our sin, because of the sin of this world, that's when the world will be judged. Sin will be judged in the person of the Lord Jesus the Messiah. That's why in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, the apostle made sure to help the believers to understand. "For he," this is God, "has made him," this is the Messiah Jesus, "to be sin," not sinner, "sin sacrifice, sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." In other words, God is going to punish sin. And that is the judgment that the world will be judged, because the whole world, the sin of this world that caused men to ultimately go to eternal separation from God, now when sin will be judged in the person of the Mashiach, the Messiah Yeshua, on the tree, it will provide redemption to all who will believe on him. But not only that, my dear friend, my dear brothers and sisters, even the prince of the world will be cast out. Who is the prince of this world? This is none else but Satan, HaSatan, who already in the early days of creation, in Genesis chapter 3, he beguiled Eve in the Garden of Eden. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul helps us to understand it. In verse 3, we read, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." Why? Verse 4. in whom the god, small g, Satan, the god of this world, has blinded the mind of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of the Messiah, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. In other words, you see, my dear friend, this God, the prince of this world, is none else but Satan himself. In fact, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friends, according to Ephesians chapter 2, he is called the prince of the power of the air. Let me read you this verse here in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And you has he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according, listen to this, to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. In other words, Satan is working in the hearts and mind of disobedient children, namely the unregenerated world. So, my dear friends and dear brothers and sisters, when the Lord Jesus the Messiah would go to the cross, would go to the tree, and he would become the one that would take upon himself the sin of this world, now he will not only judge the world, the sin of this world, but also the prince, Satan, who is the god of this world, he will be judged and be ultimately cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto myself, unto me. Notice this is very interesting verse in John chapter 12 and verse 32. And I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. In John chapter 3 and verse 14, he have already mentioned this in verse 14, where he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. In other words, what does that mean, the Son of Man must be lifted up? John 3 and verse 14. What does it mean, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me, in John 12 and verse 32. That lifted up is a clear indication that he's speaking about crucifixion. You see, to remind you that our people of Israel did not crucify. Jewish people, according to the law, would stone someone who violated God's word, but never crucifixion. And so we learn this amazing lesson from prophecy again of Yeshayahu, Isaiah, who have already predicted in Isaiah chapter 53, again, this famous chapter that we refer to many times as we read the prophetic word of God concerning the coming of the Messiah. But you remember what Isaiah said in this 53rd chapter, specifically this amazing portion that speak about the Lord Jesus the Messiah as the one that will bear. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace fell upon him, and with his stripe we are healed. That has a reference to the fact that he will be wounded, and that he will be the one that will take upon himself the sin question. Notice what David said in Psalm 22, and specifically in this verse 16. David said, for dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. Prophetically, speaking about the death of the Messiah. But notice at the end of verse 16, he said, they pierced my hand and my feet. Not they stoned me, but they pierced my hands and my feet. That has a reference to the crucifixion, to the way the Romans would crucify those that they would punish. And so you can see that the Hebrew prophets, whether it is David, or whether it is Yeshayahu, or whether it is Yechezkel, or whether it is Yirmiyahu, or whatever prophets of old, or whether it is Moses, who said, a prophet like unto me, God will raise from among you. These prophetic words were fulfilled to the letter. And the Lord Yeshua the Messiah said, "If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto myself." And that is beautiful because it makes us a reference that he will draw all men unto him, unto me. What does that mean, "I will draw all men"? I always wonder about this passage. Do all men draw to Jesus, to Yeshua? Did all men, since the time that Yeshua died on that Roman cross some 2,000 years ago, did all men came to him? No. We know it's very clear that not all men came to the Lord by faith and accepted him. Many still rejecting him today worldwide. What does he mean when he says, "I will draw all men unto me"? You see, you and I, men and women, people, will either be drawn unto him, to the cross, to the tree, to the sacrifice as the Lamb of God, confessing their sins, or they will be drawn unto him to the great white throne judgment, where he is going to judge the unbelievers and cast them into the lake of fire. You are either coming to the Lord Jesus the Messiah by faith, accepting his death on the cross, on the tree, and receiving his forgiveness, or you will come to him, you will be drawn to him in the day of judgment, at the great white throne judgment. And the same Yeshua as the Lamb of God will be the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who will be the judge of all those that rejected his offer of salvation. And I, if I be lifted up from this earth, I will draw all men unto me. And notice how clearly in verse 33, "And this said he, signifying what death he should die." Yeshua the Messiah knew very well that he will die by crucifixion, because he was the one who gave us the word. He is the eternal Son of God. He is the author. He is the eternal word. Whatever God gave to our forefathers to put down in this record of scripture was given by himself through the Spirit of God. He is the creator. He is the upholder of all things. He is the one who became the Son of Man, Ben Adam, in order to provide salvation for those who believe on him. And now listen to these next verses. In verse 34, 35, and 36, we read, "The people answered him, 'We have heard out of the Lord that the Messiah abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Mi ze ben ha'adam?'" Well, you notice that according to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, we do read that the Messiah, when he's going to come, when he will come, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Father of Eternity, the Prince of Peace." And notice verse 7, "And of his, the increase of his government and peace and shalom, there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it." You see, here it is, my dear beloved friend, the need to understand that when the Mashiach would come, in his first coming, he will come to die for the sin of this world. And when he will come at his second coming, he will come to rule and to reign. You see, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, 7, gives us the two comings of the Messiah. "Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given." This has to do with his first coming. He was born as a baby in Bethlehem to the Virgin Miriam, and he was given by God, who gave his son. The Messiah was given by God. But then verses 6b, all the way to verse 7, it deals with the second coming of the Mashiach, that the government shall be future upon his shoulder, And his name shall be called the Wonderful and Counselor and so on, Mighty God, increase, or the increase of his government there shall be no end. Well, is the government is upon his shoulder today? The vast majority of the governments of this world reject him today. All this is concerning the second coming of the Mashiach, when the Messiah will come. Israel will accept him finally at his second coming. He will rule and reign. The heavenly company, the church, the ecclesia will rule with him over the earth. The Jewish people will be used by the Lord to be a light to the nations of the world. Israel will be a priestly nation, and the world will be subdued by the Messiah, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Yeshua is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It didn't happen as yet. The Lord is building the church, the assembly, the ecclesia now. Jews and Gentiles who unite together in the body of Messiah are called out of this world to form a group that is called the body of Messiah, the ecclesia, the called out ones, the church, the assembly. And so now, as we move along in this passage, we find out that the Lord gives the answer. And he continued. And he said, Jesus said unto them, yet a little while, his light is with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Yeshua, and he departed, and did hide himself from them. You notice that now, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friends, up to this point, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, communicated with the people who would listen to him when the Greeks, the Hellenistic Jews, came to the Passover to celebrate the feast. And he spoke with those that would hear him as they asked, we would see Jesus. Would you like to see Jesus the Messiah today? Well, you have to trust in him, to believe in him, to accept him, and you will see him by faith. And soon and very soon, when he is going to return, he will take you to be with him, and you will see the Son of Man, Ben Adam. We shall see him, and we are going to be with him, for we shall be as he is. Amazing promises we have in the Word of God. Let us draw nigh to the final portion of this 12th chapter, which is from verse 37 to verse 50, where Yeshua is now dealing with those who did not believe. And notice what we read in verse 37. In verse 37, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. This is sad, isn't it? But you notice, my dear brothers and sisters and dear friend, from here on, there was no more a public ministry of the Lord. Because now we have that record that though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believe not him, believe not Yeshua. We read in verse 38 that this was the fulfillment of what Isaiah the prophet have already said some 750 years before Yeshua came to the land of Israel through the Virgin Miriam. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, Isaiah 53 verse 1, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord had been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, this is Isaiah 6 and verse 10, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. Now, my dear friend, this is a very strong statement. You see, when Isaiah spoke these words and received these words from the Lord concerning the people of Israel in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah was received revelation from the Lord. If you remember, we read in Isaiah chapter 6 that in the year of King Uzziah, that he died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Isaiah 6 verse 1. Above it stood the seraphim, each one had six wings, with twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another, and said, Holy, 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 kadosh, 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 Adonai Tzevaot, the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is filled with his glory. The post of the door moved, and with the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And when Isaiah saw this vision, Isaiah said, Woe is me, Isaiah 6 and verse 5. And I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah, he saw this amazing vision of the glory of the Lord. And he recognized how sinful he is. That's why he says, Oili in Hebrew. Oili, oili, woe is me. I'm undone because I'm a man of unclean lips. And not only me, because I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. Why? Because mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts, this holy God, the God of Israel. But then you notice, in the next verses, verse 6 and 7, Isaiah was cleansed unto me, having a live coals in his hand, which he had taken with the tongues from off the altar. The altar speak of the sacrifice. And he laid it on my lips, and he said, Lo, this has touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. You see, the coal from the sacrifice where the blood of the lamb was shed, that cleansed him and washed his sins away, and Isaiah was forgiven. And then a voice was heard in verse 8, Who will go for us? Then Isaiah said, Here am I, send me. And so when Isaiah was sent to our people, Israel of old, some 750 years before Yeshua came, God gave him a difficult message to proclaim to the people of Israel, to tell them, Go and tell these people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of these people fettered, make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. And Isaiah was amazed. He was going to give this message to his own people whom he loved, that God now have hardened their hearts, that they will not believe on him. And he asked God, How long? Verse 11 of Isaiah chapter 6. And he says, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitants, and the houses without men, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord continue to tell him that he will remove men far away, and there will be a great forsaken in the midst of the land. He was speaking about 586 BC when the temple in Jerusalem will be destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar and the Jewish people will be killed. Many will be taken captive like Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah and all others. And Yechezkel and Yirmiyahu and others that have been taken captive, and the thousands upon thousands of the Jewish people that have gone into captivity because of unbelief, because God have disciplined his people who have gone astray. And so here as we are going back to our passage, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friend, listen to this. So here we see, though he have done many miracles before them, yet they did not believe on him. And here we have the reason. The reason comes from two passages in the prophet Isaiah. The first one is Isaiah 53 and verse 1. Who has believed our report? God reported to the people of Israel that a Messiah would come. Who had believed this report? We are reporting to you today that there is a way of salvation. If you only trust in the Word of God and in God's offer of salvation, the report is before us all. Will you believe? Will you accept Him today, whether Jewish or Gentile, whatever people, tongues, and nation, do you receive the message of the Lord today? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The way of salvation is through the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. Here is the report. But when one hear the message and receive not the offer of the Lord, notice the second part that we read. In verse 39 and 40 we read, and they could not believe. Why they could not believe? Because Isaiah said, again, He has blinded their eyes. And He hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw His glory and spake of Him. Whose glory Isaiah saw in Isaiah chapter 6? It's the glory of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. It is the Mashiach who is speaking concerning, first of all, the people of Israel, that at His first coming, because they did not accept Him, God would harden their hearts. You see, my dear friend, this is so true because God is speaking once and again and again, and there will be a time that God will harden their heart. You remember what the prophet said in many of the prophecies, but one of them we read in the book of Proverbs, where Shlomo said, we read, because I have called, Proverbs 1 verse 24, and he refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. Then we read in verse 26, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear comes. When your fear cometh as a desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish comes upon you, then they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. And why? For they have hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. You notice, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friend, rejecting God's offer of salvation. Once and again, there is coming a time in which God will harden hearts. Only He knows when. Only He knows to whom. But God, as He have done it to some of our people of Israel, and as He does it to those who refuse Him in the world today, it is important to accept the offer of salvation, because He is the one that is able to harden the heart. You see, the same sun who melt the wax is the same sun, S-U-N, who hardened the clay. The same sun, S-O-N, who melt the hearts of those that are listening to Him, is the same sun, S-O-N, who is able to harden one's heart. He has blinded their eyes. He has hardened their heart. Isaiah tells us in Isaiah chapter 6, and here we read in John 12 and verse 40, quoting Isaiah chapter 6. And so we read, listen to this, in verse 41, these things said Isaiah when he saw His glory. Isaiah in chapter 6 of the prophecy of Isaiah, 750 years or so before the coming of the Mashiach Yeshua, he saw the Messiah's glory when he saw that vision. Then we read in verse 42, nevertheless, among the chief priests also, or the chief rulers also, many believed in Him. So you see, it's not all who reject Him, but the nation of Israel, as a nation, did not accept the Messiah at His first coming, as it was predicted by the prophets of Israel. They will accept Yeshua at His second coming and will enter into the blessing that God has intended for His people Israel. But many believed on Him, even though these were some of the early believers who were part of the foundation of the assembly, like the apostles and the early shlichim, the apostles and those early that were in the city of Jerusalem who formed the local assembly of the Jewish believers in the first days of the church, of the assembly. So we read, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him because there was fear, because of the publicly to be afraid from the spiritual leaders of the day who were blinded and did not receive Him. And they were afraid lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved, listen to this, they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Isn't it so natural to us? We, because of our sin nature, we often fail to take side with God because of His fear of men and because we love the praises of men more than the praise of God. But you see, God has to work this out in our hearts and to cause us to love the praise of God rather than the praise of men. You see, even today as believers, oftentimes we'll fail in this because the natural man, the sin nature that we have, love the praises of men rather than the praises of God. That's why oftentimes there's friction among God's people, the believers, because of our sin nature that we struggle with even as believers today. But here we see that they had this struggle. Some of them truly believe. Obviously, the assembly began in Jerusalem. The believers were there. But there were those who only believe, but were afraid because they loved the praises of men rather than the praises of God. And listen to the conclusion. In verse 44, all the way to verse 50, Yeshua is speaking and He's saying, and I want to read you these words. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on Me believeth not on Me, but on Him that hath sent Me. But he that seeth Me seeth Him that sent Me. If you see Me, you see God the Father. Because the triune God, the Father, the Son, the Spirit, Ha'abba, Ha'ben, Ha'ruach, whatever the Father said, whatever the Son does is the Father. This is the amazing truth that there is harmony in the Godhead. He that has seen Me is really seeing the One that sent Me. If you want to see the Father, God the Father, look at God the Son as man. Verse 46, I am come a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth on Me should not abide in darkness. We live in a world that is darkness. And turning to the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is turning to the light. He is the light of the world. Verse 47, if any man hear My words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. In other words, one that will reject Me, Yeshua saying, you're not going to be judged by Me here and now, but you will see the reason that I came is to die and to save this world from sin and judgment. But the one that rejects Me will ultimately be judged in due time. He that reject Me, verse 48, and receive not My words, hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. Notice what He is saying, what the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is saying. You know, in the last days, there are days coming in which those who rejected the offer of salvation will have to stand before God. And the question will be, what have you done with Yeshua? What have you done with Jesus the Messiah? Have you accepted Him? Then you are forgiven. If you rejected Him, God cannot allow sin to enter into His presence. And so the last two verses of John 12, for I have not spoken of Myself, but the Father which sent Me, He gave Me a commandment, that I should say and what I should speak. He received commandment from God the Father as man now, what he would say and what he would speak here in his humanity upon the face of this earth. And so verse 50 of John 12, the concluding remark of Yeshua, and I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Notice, my dear friends and dear brothers and sisters, Yeshua emphasizes the importance of simply believing on him. People by nature love the praises of men more than the praises of God. Yeshua's last message before he hid himself from the people, he emphasized the importance of believing on him. From here on, the Lord Jesus the Messiah is not going to show himself publicly anymore, but he is going to enter into this amazing time in which he will spend with his disciples, chapter 13, chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 16, chapter 17, chapter 18 in the Garden of Shmanim, Gan Shmanim, where he will be captured and be handed over to Pilate, who will ultimately lift him up on the shameful tree in order to say and to finish the work of redemption and to say it is finished. Beloved brothers and sisters and dear friend, everyone who hear the message of the gospel, whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. May God open the hearts of everyone who hear the message of the gospel of the grace of God, the message of the grace of our Lord Yeshua Jesus the Messiah. Well, God bless you, my dear friend. Shalom, shalom.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m., at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.